This is KNKX News. Earlier this year, Democrat Frank Chobb stepped down as Speaker of the Washington House of Representatives after 20 years in the post. The House Democratic Caucus chose Representative Lori Jenkins to succeed him. She's from the 27th District, which covers downtown Tacoma, Hilltop, the Port, the Stadium District, Point Defiance, and more. As KNKX opens its new studios in downtown Tacoma, we thought it would be good to hear from Representative Jenkins. And since we're new neighbors, I asked her about the city she's called home since 1987. We're sitting in your district.
Yes, you are, in the heart of the 27th, right in downtown Tacoma. I was at your grand opening on Saturday, which was wonderful to have the whole block closed down and literally hundreds and hundreds of people here.
Give us the lay of the land here in the 27th. What should we know about this district and about this place?
You know, I really believe and agree with the kind of the term that's used for Tacoma as it being a gritty city.
I know there are mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, I know there's some people who really don't like that. But the way that I interpret that is that we're folks who work really hard, tend to be a lot of working class folks who have long histories in the community. But one of the things I've always loved about Tacoma is that we are always looking for ways to improve our community. It's very easy to break in. Essentially, what you have to do here in Tacoma, if you want to help, is you have to show up somewhere. And then when you make a commitment to do something, you have to do it. And once you do that, everybody's like, well, come on.
I want to ask you a little about some issues. We've been on the road over the last year doing stories and broadcasting from different communities. And almost everywhere we've been, from Port Angeles to Mount Vernon to Chehalis, people have pointed to the cost and the availability of housing as a problem. And that interests me because, A, it's being felt across the state, but the solutions often come from local policies. And I'm wondering what the state can or should do about housing.
Well, you know, so I think we made some really good leaps last year. One, we invested $175 million in the Housing Trust Fund. The state isn't usually the first money into building a housing project at a local level. I think one of the things that one of the nuts we haven't cracked as well is how can we at a state level entice private development of affordable housing? And then there are issues around density and Growth Management Act issues. So those are things that we have to think about too. So there's a whole bunch of different things. There's never a single solution to a complex problem.
This past session, the legislature approved millions to implement Initiative 1639, which was this group of gun regulations that voters approved last year. And then this summer, there were more mass shootings, including the one in El Paso, Texas. 22 people died there. Will there be more to do on guns when the session begins in January?
You know, I think that's likely so, although I would say this last year was a watershed year on gun violence in Washington state. We passed, I think, 10 different pieces of legislation, the most significant of which, I think, we passed a bill. It happened to be my bill. I was the prime sponsor, but that requires law enforcement to temporarily remove firearms when they go to a domestic violence situation. So a lot of what we did last year was about making our laws that we already have work. I think there's been a lot of discussion about an assault weapons ban and high-capacity magazines. Because of the initiative you mentioned, it would take a two-thirds majority to do an assault weapons ban this next year. So we would definitely, you know, I would call on my Republican colleagues to work on that with us if that's something folks are interested in. I also think looking at high-capacity magazines is something I'm particularly interested in. But that's something my caucus is going to have to discuss. We haven't discussed it as a caucus yet.
Let me ask you about your new job.
Yeah.
You are the first woman to be chosen as Speaker of the Washington House. You're also the first out lesbian to hold the job. What do you make of those distinctions?
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I knew that I'd be the first woman and the first out lesbian when I ran. But I was really focused on just the basic job of being Speaker. And when I talked to members, it was really about that. And one of the most surprising things was when I was elected, how important that was to people. I never thought I would walk into the Metropolitan Market one day with my headphones in, just going to pick something up. And I walked past a group of eight people who started applauding And I turned around to look at who they were applauding for, and I took out my earphones, and one of them said, "Lori, this is for you." I just wasn't prepared for that, honestly. And I'm trying to store that because I know there's going to be some days where it's not going to feel all happy. But I guess the one thing I would say about it is if my election and my serving in this role gives any young woman or any LGBTQ person, or I think, you know, people of color can also analogize from this, people who've been outsiders to the political system, if it gives a single person the ability to envision themselves in this role, I think all of that is worth it.
This morning, your predecessor as Speaker, Representative Frank Chopp, talked to our Morning Edition host, Kirsten Kendrick. And one of the things he sort of admitted is that he's shy, and mm-hmm. and public speaking isn't his thing, which was a funny thing to hear from the Speaker of the House. Yeah. How do you plan to preside or serve in that capacity? What's your approach?
Well, I mean, I'm sure anybody you talk to who knows me would say I'm also very shy. I'm totally kidding. I think like on those Myers-Briggs scales, like there's no more points to be had on extroversion. I'm quite an extrovert. And I think one of the things, though, that, you know, people often think that introverts, like they don't lead as well. I think, you know, Speaker Emeritus Chopp is a great example of how great of a leader an introvert can be.
Because he said his preference was letting somebody else kind of mm-hmm. stand on the rostrum mm-hmm. and do the thing in the mm-hmm. chamber. And he was behind the scenes organizing.
Yeah. I think I've already thought about this, I'm likely to have the opposite challenge, is that I need to make sure I maintain and even create more space for our caucus members to talk to the press, to talk to the public. We have great pro tem speakers in Tina Orwall and John Levick. So I'm definitely going to need to learn how to preside over the House, because there are some times when the speaker really should be presiding. I haven't done any of that ever. So I'll expect Tina and John, who will teach me a lot of great things.
It'd be like a crash course in gavel technique.
Yes. although it's funny, when I was in law school, my nickname, I was the president of the student body and had a gavel, and they nicknamed me the hammer.
All right. We'll see if that takes an Olympia. But what you're saying is Tacoma will not rule the state.
The Tacoma perspective will definitely be brought to bear, right? I mean, well, right, because that I'm going to be speaker, and so I'm going to be thinking, what's the Tacoma, when somebody comes in and asks for a bill to go onto the floor, I'm going to be thinking, what's the Tacoma experience here? That's my people's experience, but I also have to be willing to listen and hear what other people's experience is. So balance.
Lori Jenkins, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Speaker-designate Lori Jenkins represents the 27th District in the Washington State House. Democrats selected her earlier this year to be the next Speaker of the House, a post that does not become official until a vote of the full chamber at the start of the next session in January.